Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you very much, Laura. We've kept Laura busy this weekend at the wedding yesterday and then again today and Friday night at the rehearsal and all that good stuff. So we've had a busy weekend. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's on page 1766. In a few moments, I just want to refer to a verse here. As you can see from your bulletin, I'm starting a little bit of a newer series because I've been thinking the last while about the term the long view. And I have to take this a little bit personal from the point of view that in terms of doing succession planning a little bit, and I kind of look back, and it almost blows me away that I have been now a pastor for 42 years. And you kind of think, oh, my goodness. You know, how I wasn't even 21 when I started, and I must have been green. But there is now a little bit of a long view for me. But as I got thinking about it, I was thinking, but what does that mean? It means that there's a whole lot of hindsight now. And I've been able to look over years, and sometimes when you do that, you think, well, I wouldn't have done what I did back in my 20s or 30s now, but nonetheless, God was all along, and in all that hindsight, hopefully there's wisdom. I mean, that's not just something that's assumed, because for decades we can make the same mistakes over and over, and a timeline does not guarantee success. Nor does it guarantee effectiveness, nor does it guarantee that God is using you just because of a span of time. But when we think of the long view, we're really talking about a view that's long. And hopefully it would have been a long obedience to God, so that indeed we all grow together. And it dawns on me that when you talk about a long view with a lot of people, it would infer something like this. That we've watched a lot. We've felt a lot of life. Life didn't always go in a straight line. There were twists and there were turns. Some of them were very sudden. There were ups and there were downs. There were all kinds of times when we went sideways. And we didn't really see the whole picture, and sometimes we're in a fog, but we kept going, and one step in front of another, and over time, we discovered that indeed there is value at seeing things over the long term, the long view. After all, isn't in God's mind the issue of being a parent about having a long view regarding your kids? Or being a mentor, or being in an apprenticeship program. There's so many things that we do in life that involves those with a long view helping those who have a short view. So there is the value of having a long view. And I guess if we think of God, he's been around a whole lot longer than we are. So to pay attention to what he says would be wise, because so often our view is so short and limited, and his is so vast and long, and maybe that's part of what we want to catch on to today. So it is indeed valuable to consider this type of thing. Let me say this, that I believe the Bible is a record of the long view. And when we think of living in view of the long view, it isn't just the foresight that we have that God has laid out before us. It's the hindsight. And all through the Bible, this is there over and over and over again. So the Bible is a documented record of generations, of historical eras. It's a record of people. Real people, but not perfect people. It's people with faults and warts, and they've made bad decisions, and yet they've had triumphs, and then they've had rough times, and they've had joys and hurts. And some people in the Bible, God's people, just motored on through. Some at other times, well, they did go sideways. And some even ended up in the ditch. But the great joy is that among God's people in Scripture, many of them got towed out of the ditch and away they went. And how many of us on any given day or week or over a span of time have ended up in the ditch, stuck spiritually, and someone came along and towed us out? And such is the triumph of looking at the long view of our lives, where at any given point we know we've gone sideways and we've made bad decisions and we got sucked into something that was out of control. And by God's grace, here we are today. So the Bible is really a record of the long view. And here in Romans chapter 15 at verse 4, I want us to consider this as we start talking about Joseph. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hope has to do with the issue of a future. It is directly connected to our future. And so the Scriptures are here in the record of these people, real people, to help us watch them and develop our own view and to see what is the best route to take. And in our experience, to look at the long view of some of these lives and say, I am encouraged by that, and it helps me to live. And so when we come to Joseph today, that is precisely why the Holy Spirit has given us a record of the life of Joseph. It's written down to encourage you and me. But it's in the long view. We see the whole span in chapters 37 through 50 in Genesis of this guy named Joseph. So just start then. Let's go back to Genesis. And we're not going to read all this, obviously, this morning, but we can put your finger where Alwyn read in chapter 45. That's one of the texts that we will just glance at very briefly. A lot of us know the story of Joseph, so let me just break it down to you very quickly. Here we have a guy who knew God's promises to him and his family because of his great-grandfather, Abraham. And Abraham shared his vision of God's promise with his son Isaac. And then Isaac shared that vision with Jacob. And Jacob was Joseph's father. So Joseph was well aware that the Jewish people were God's chosen people. And it was through those people that God would reach the world. And so we believe in what we call a Judeo-Christian faith. It doesn't mean we're Jews. What it means is that the Scriptures, the truths that we hold to, come out of the Old Testament of Scripture, which was God's word to his people, the Jews. And of course, then we go into the New Testament and so on. But Joseph knew all about this. And he knew the faith in God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had, though they were not perfect grandparents nor parents. And so, Joseph knew the tensions that happened in his father Jacob's family. Jacob and his brother Esau did not get along at all. Jacob was a deceiver, and he deceived Esau into losing his inheritance. Then Jacob met his match in his mother's brother Laban. And Uncle Laban was one who deceived Jacob. And so Jacob had four different women that fathered his 12 sons. And even among those women, and this is not God's will, but there was tension. And that same tension that was between Jacob and Esau came down to Jacob's whole family, and the brothers themselves had issues. What we're saying is that Joseph knew what it was to live in a dysfunctional family. And so he also knew that some things were happening that made things even worse as time went on. Maybe he didn't see it at 17 years of age in chapter 37, verses 2 to 4. But he enjoyed the fact that his father thought that he, the youngest son, was so privileged he made him a coat of many colors. In other words, favoritism among parents toward their kids is not a good thing. He did not do Joseph a favor at centering him out, because it was the beginning of struggle for Joseph for years to come. Indeed, God spoke to Joseph at that time and gave him dreams that said Joseph's family would actually bow down to him one day. You can just imagine how that went over with the other 11 brothers and his father. But his father was wise enough to tuck that thought of dreams that Joseph had when God spoke to him in his mind. But the brothers were not so kind. The brothers actually hated him because he indicated that they would bow down to him one day. So Joseph, even at 17, at being so eager to share with his brothers what God had said to him, brought harm upon himself. It was not a perfect world. And so, as we know, Joseph, later in chapter 37, 27, was sold to the Midianites, because when he went to check on his brothers, they thought, here's an opportunity to get rid of this kid. They were going to kill him, but they decided to chuck him into a pit and leave him there. But then these Midianites came along, and one of the brothers had mercy, and he said, look, we shouldn't do this. Let's sell him. And so they sold him off to the Midianites, and then we know what the brothers did. They had to answer to Dad back home, so they took his robe, his colorful robe, and they killed an animal and put blood all over it, took it home to Dad and said, your son must be dead, a big animal has killed him. And of course his father went into mourning in all this. You see what kind of things are happening in this family? And then Joseph was sold by the Midianites to Potiphar, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he became a slave in Egypt there. As a matter of fact, he was very successful because to him was delegated responsibility. But then he was accused falsely by his master, Potiphar's wife, of trying to seduce him. And he was thrown into the prison. Even there, he has success and he gained good favor. And these two guys, the cupbearer to the king and the chief baker to the king, were in prison because of some reason. And when they had dreams, Joseph, with God's help, interpreted those dreams. And the fallout from that interpretation came exactly true as Joseph said it would. And so Joseph, here he is in the prison. He treated the cupbearer and the baker well. The baker died exactly as Joseph said he would. But the cupbearer, he forgot about Joseph when he was reinstated to his position of responsibility. And then, later on, Pharaoh had a dream. Joseph was called from the prison because at the right moment, the cupbearer remembered Joseph's ability to interpret dreams with God's help. And so he was called from being a slave now right into the very presence of Pharaoh, and he interpreted his dreams to a T. And he said, there are going to be 7 years of plenty in Egypt, because then there will be 7 years of famine. And you've seen this dream twice, because God is telling you this is going to come to fulfillment soon. And Joseph was perceived by Pharaoh and his leaders to be so perceptive and so in touch with God that Pharaoh elevated Joseph now to be second in command to Pharaoh himself in all the land of Egypt. And so then Joseph was able to prepare Egypt for 7 years of plenty, storing up the grain, so that when the 7 years of famine would come, he would also delegate the food to those people who were needy. Here we have a whole series of the big picture in Joseph's life, a long view. And we know that Joseph's family came twice. His brothers came to gain grain in a time of deep famine. And what Alwyn read this morning was a point where Joseph could not take it anymore. He had recognized his brothers, but they didn't know him. And finally, he opens up and he says, I'm your brother Joseph. They were terrified because they knew what they did to him. And yet he encourages them. And a whole family comes down to Egypt and they settle there. And Jacob gets to see his son. He blesses all his sons, and then Jacob dies. So that's the long view of Joseph. And if we were to talk to Joseph this morning, Joseph could have told us about his journey. And I think it would go something like this. You know, I've had a lot of baggage in my life. My family was not perfect. Joseph would tell us that God was with me all along. In my youth, he preserved my life. He was one who took me to Egypt. Now, I didn't see it at the moment, and then I was directed by God to Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife made this accusation, and I ended up in prison. And I met the cupbearer and the baker. And I ended up standing before Pharaoh. And here I am in charge of all of Egypt. And the big point is made in chapter 39, verse 21, where it says, the Lord was with him. So in all the long view and all the experiences that Joseph had gone through between age 17 and he was 30 years of age when he was put in a position of ruling over all of Egypt. He had a long view, but he was able to say ultimately, you know, God was with me. And this was a major issue. God spoke to Joseph. He had personal dreams, and some of them were prophetic. They were not understood, and even because he had those personal dreams that God revealed to him, he was hated all the more by his family. But then he had the dreams that he had to interpret for the cupbearer and the baker and then for Pharaoh, and they were all interpreted, and it revealed that Joseph had a relationship with God to the point that God enabled him to tell the truth about what was coming. And Pharaoh recognized that. And that's why he was promoted. It's probably to the point that Joseph is one who said what God said. God spoke. Joseph listened. and then Joseph spoke. And we can conclude that in the long view, Joseph walked with God. Major point. And even that, at moments, got him into trouble because people didn't like Joseph's integrity and what Joseph said. But the bottom line is this, that God honored Joseph. Remember our verse from 1 Samuel 2, verse 30 that we did a few years ago? The Lord declares, those who honor me, I will honor. Here's Joseph. When you look at the long view of his life, God indeed had honored him. So let's just stand back for a minute. We got the story, and we look a little bit at his journey. But if Joseph were to share his long view with us today, I wonder what it would sound like. And it may be something like this, because now that he's ruling over all Egypt, he sees very clearly. And he has a lot of hindsight. And Joseph would, I believe, would make statements like this to us. Some bad things happened to me. And you and I can identify with this. Because a lot of you here have more hindsight and you have a longer view than I do. Even as I have some hindsight and longer view than some of you. But Joseph could say, even like us, some bad things happened. I had my brothers. I was put in a pit. I was falsely accused. I was rejected and sold as a slave. I was in places that I chose not to be. The way that I was going was unknown. There were places beyond my control. I was a victim of lies. Due to honoring God. I tell you, I watched Joseph, the Coat of Many Colors, at a play in Ridgetown a few years ago. And I can't tell you how ticked I was when we got to the point where Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife and the insinuation was that Joseph had somewhat given in to her. I don't care how talented a crew is. When they misrepresent Scripture on that issue of Joseph's integrity, that is not good news. But Joseph honored God. And he did not give in. And in spite of all the bad things, he continued to honor God. And continually along the way, he was accused, he was forgotten, he was rejected. But he honored God, and God honored him. Let me say this. Whether we're following Jesus or not, we live in a broken world where all of us have felt these types of things. We're not immune, even as those who want to follow Jesus. We live in a broken world where bad things happen to good people. And we feel it emotionally. We know the fears. We know the disappointments. It just seems that I'm going down a different route than I would have chosen. And at moments, I'm just totally out of control because I don't understand what's going on here. And in the long view, that's one of the things that Joseph would have told us. Some bad things happened to me. Even when I tried to honor God. I think another thing that Joseph would tell us would be this. I've learned to walk with God. Because my conviction in recent days has been this. We live in a broken world. And I have a choice. in this broken world, I can walk through it with God or without God. That's my choice. And Joseph would say, I've learned to walk with God. God spoke to me, I listened, and I spoke. My faith in God was developed when life was out of control. He gave credit to God, and he honored God, and things got worse. He was told what to do, and he was told where to go, but at no point did Joseph compromise obedience to God. Big lesson for us. Sometimes we can't see for the fog. And things happen that are totally out of our control. And like, why on earth am I sitting here? Why have I gone through this? Psalms 31, verse 14 to 16. The psalmist says, my times are in his hands. Big issue. God's in control. And my times are in his hands. And Psalm 138 and verse 8 says that the Lord will perfect or fulfill his purposes for me. And it's this type of faith that God had developed in Joseph's life, and he wants to see in ours. A lot of bad things have happened, but I've learned to walk with God. And I think the last thing Joseph would say to us is this: I know that God is sovereign. God is sovereign, controlling all things. He is the Lord of the universe, and in every step of those bad things that happened to me, he was there. I was not forgotten. I was not rejected in God's view. We walked together. And in that understanding of Joseph seeing that God was sovereign, he could say, I now see, I have a long view. I couldn't see back then quite clearly, and at moments I did see, and then I was absolutely confused, but I see now. And so when we come to chapter 50, after Jacob had died, and the brothers were fearful that Joseph then would take revenge on them for what they did to him, he says down in verse 19, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he assured them, and he spoke kindly to them. What enables a guy to do that? It's when he understands that all along, God had been preparing him for a place of leadership and development and bringing him to a place where in his time, God would raise him up and place him second in command to Pharaoh himself. And Joseph would be used by God to save multitudes of Jewish people, but also multitudes of people around Egypt and the area who would need food. God prepared a Savior. And that's why we talk about Joseph being a fantastic picture of Jesus, because Jesus also was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was rejected. He was accused. They would have put him to death, and they did. But ultimately, He was a Savior to the world. And we could talk about that another time. So the very purpose of all of this is that God was bringing about a great deliverance, and God is the one that prepared Joseph for it. So the point would be this, that in the long view, Joseph would understand that God, being totally sovereign, has the ability to work everything together for good to those who love him. That's Romans 8:28. And in this, at this point in his life, Joseph was just rejoicing because now he saw the long view of what God was accomplishing. Those bad things were bad, but God in his sovereign ability had the strength and the wisdom to overrule the bad things, to bring about the good things, to provide a Savior to save many people. And Joseph now just rejoices that he has a great long view about what God is able to do. And God wants us to enter into that. I'm not sure what bad things have individually happened in your life. I know a few of my own. As God is in control, our surrender to him means that God is able to take even those bad things and overrule them to bring about a purpose much greater than that bad thing in our lives. And that purpose will involve not just helping us to walk with him and enjoy a good quality of life, but it involves the saving of many others, bringing about a great deliverance. And God has the ability to do this. Such is our confidence. Such was Joseph's confidence in God. That's what we see in the long view. And so today the focus would be God is absolutely sovereign. Trust him. Rejoice in him. Our times are in his hands. He will make all things beautiful in his time, is what the scriptures say. And so we're going to end our time today by singing that little chorus. We're going to sing it through once, Laura, with the music. And then more prayerfully, in a cappella, we're going to sing it through again. And the intent is that it may become much more personal to us. This is an affirmation of Scripture. Let's stand together. Just a reminder to please pick up that questionnaire that's on the back pew back there and filled out. Have it back in a couple weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so often in the middle of the journey, we wonder which end is up because we can't see. And over a process of time, we come to understand that you are the God who guides. Our confidence is that our times are in your hands. You do have the ability to fulfill your purposes for us. Help us to be like Joseph. Help us to listen to you. Help us to respond. Develop in us confidence in you so that in the long view, we will indeed affirm God is in control. You are so sovereign. You do all things well. Encourage us with these things. In Christ's name, amen.